The ADHD myth. ADHD is a neurologically based disorder, most probably of genetic origin, although prenatal smoking and lead poisoning are also known to be contributing factors, which afflicts around 11% of America's children aged 5 to 17. Significantly more boys appear to have this disorder than girls. Boys, 14%, girls, 6%. Although girls who have evaded detection for years are increasingly being identified as having the version of ADHD that is referred to as ADHD inattentive type. ADHD is characterized by three main features: hyperactivity, fidgeting, trouble playing quietly, always moving, leaving classroom seat, talking excessively. Impulsivity, blurting out answers in class, interrupting others, having problems waiting turns, and/or inattention, forgetfulness, disorganization, losing things, making careless mistakes, being easily distracted, daydreaming. Current thinking has identified three major groups of ADHD children: one group that appears more hyperactive and impulsive, another that seems more inattentive, and a third that has all three features. The symptoms must have lasted at least 6 months, have originated by the age of 12, and have been observed in multiple settings, for example, home and school. There are no lab tests, biomarkers, or other objective methods available to diagnose this disorder. Assessment tools include parent, child, and teacher interviews, a thorough medical examination, and the use of specially designed behavior rating scales and performance tests. There is no known cure for ADHD, but it can be successfully treated in most instances using a psychostimulant medication, such as Ritalin, Adderall, or Concerta. Other drugs have also been used as well, including antidepressants, such as Wellbutrin, blood pressure medications, such as Clonidine, and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors such as Strattera. Non-drug interventions include behavior modification, parent training, a structured classroom setting, and information given to parents and teachers on the proper way of handling ADHD behaviors at home and in school. There is no known cause of ADHD, but current thinking has it involving structural abnormalities in the brain and biochemical imbalances in areas of the brain that are responsible for attention, planning, and motor activity, including the striatum, the cerebellum, the limbic system, and the prefrontal cortex. Neurotransmitters that appear to be dysregulated in ADHD include dopamine and norepinephrine. Children who have been diagnosed with ADHD can experience significant school problems, suffer from low self-esteem, have difficulty relating to peers, and encounter problems in complying with rules at home, leading to conflict with parents and siblings. Some kids with ADHD also have learning disabilities, conduct disorders, destructive and/or antisocial behaviors, Tourette's syndrome, a disorder characterized by uncontrollable motor or verbal tics, and/or mood disorders, including depression and anxiety. While ADHD seems to disappear for some children around puberty, it can represent a lifelong disorder for up to 80% of those initially diagnosed. Although this description of ADHD omits many fine points and details, and although there are disagreements within the ADHD community in regard to some of these issues, I believe there is very little in my description that most ADHD experts would seriously dispute. I want to emphasize again, however, that this is a story. It may be supported by thousands of medical studies, as claimed by a 2002 International Consensus Statement on ADHD, signed by more than 80 of the leading authorities in the field, but it is still a story gleaned from those research findings. We should remember that in ancient times, myths were stories that people told to account for unexplained phenomena in their lives. For example, wars, storms, illness, and death. Here too, we have an unexplained phenomenon. Millions of children in our culture are restless, inattentive, impulsive, and disorganized, despite our best efforts to parent and educate them. And as in ancient times, we want to have a way of making sense of this situation. Naturally, the storytelling elements used in the modern age, research, clinical data, epidemiological studies, and so on, are far more sophisticated than those used in ancient times, such as supernatural entities, magic, and divine revelation. Nonetheless, the intent is still the same: to provide a coherent narrative, easily understood by the average person, for why millions of children are not acting in the way we suppose they should act. As we'll see in the next chapter, my biggest problem with the ADHD myth is that it's just not a very good story. Yes, it looks good on the outside, with the fine veneer of medical authority, scientific rigor, and governmental support. However, when one digs deeper into the story, inconsistencies start to appear. Other interpretations of the same data begin to emerge, and alternative stories to account for the same restless, inattentive, and impulsive behaviors start to appear, especially when we include other fields of inquiry beyond neuroscience, psychiatry, and clinical psychology, such as sociology, anthropology, evolutionary biology, economics, gender studies, media studies, developmental psychology, and family systems theory. In the next chapter, I discuss some very specific problems with the ADHD myth, and in subsequent chapters, I share a number of alternative interpretations, or stories, that can also account for the millions of restless, inattentive, and impulsive children in our homes and schools.